We are in a series on the foundations of faith. Hey, Dylan, if you could just take me to the front one. There we go. There we go. We're on this series called the Foundations of Faith. It is the first step in our discipleship pathway that we're calling Know and Grow. So we're actually taking all of you on a Sunday morning through Module 1, whether you realize it or not. And so you're getting to go through Module 1 of Know and Grow. Two just started Wednesday night. It's every other Wednesday night in Room 1 downstairs. If you still want to jump into that, you must do it in 2 weeks. That's our next class. Otherwise, we'll have to get you into the next one. You'll just be too far behind. Talk to Donna after the service. Donna, just raise your hand. Shameless plug. All right. So we're on Foundations of Faith, and we've been talking through a series of things in this. Here we go. There we go. The first week, we talked about what's the big story, of faith. And we took you on a journey of covenant throughout the Bible. And then we followed that up with what is the Bible and how do you read it. Miguel brought that to us. And then we took a break for the Celebration Sunday. And then last week we heard about who is God. And that we landed on the big mystery, that he is God. But unless we keep him mysterious, we end up trying to become God ourselves. And this week I want to continue on this journey. And we're going to talk about what is the problem of humanity. What is the problem of humanity? I want to start really huge, and then I want us to narrow in the gap. I can remember very early on thinking about this process of the problem of humanity. And so we're going to be looking at two things, the problem and the solution this morning. And I believe the problem is a what and the solution is a who. And we're going to be looking at Romans 5. We'll get there in a little bit. We're going to start on page 1094 when we get there. We're going to get there in a little bit, so if you want to just open up and find that and just kind of put your finger in it. I want to talk about the problem first, and then we'll get to the solution. But I want to start, like I said, big picture. And so for me, early on, I can remember early on, for whatever reason, I'm not really sure why, I remember hearing about this guy. About Hitler. My grandfather served in World War II. He served on an aircraft carrier in the Pacific. And I remember early on hearing stories about this terrible man who did terrible things, and millions and millions and millions of people died because of him. And I can remember as a little kid thinking, that's really terrible, but that was a long time ago. And there's not too many terrible people like that. And then when I was a little kid, this guy was caught for the third time, really, Ted Bundy. And I remember hearing stories about this guy, and he's resurfaced. There's a Netflix series right now on the tapes of Ted Bundy. And I can just remember as a little kid thinking, wow, that is evil. That is pure evil. He killed women in 6 states across the United States of America. He escaped from prison twice and killed more. And when they finally found him, he would not admit that he did anything wrong until they went to electrocute him in 1989. And on his deathbed, trying to get a stay of execution, he confessed not to the 15 crimes that they knew about, but to 30 in total he had killed across the United States. And I can remember as a kid in middle school at the time when he was about to be executed going, now that's evil. That is evil incarnate. But the gap, you know, narrowed. As a little kid, I looked into the world, and the more I looked, the more I saw evil or darkness or whatever you want to call it. It just seemed to be everywhere. And in my little kid mind, it just seemed like the world was broken. Like it was broken, and it just needed to be fixed until it came to my front door. I know, I'm really glad it grew into my teeth. See, now you're laughing and you're all evil too. I was about 8 or 9 at this point, and I can just remember I had done some things that were not right leading up to this time frame in my life, but this one really sticks out to me kind of the most. We lived in a university town in Stillwater, Oklahoma, and we lived near a lot of the houses that the students lived in. And I was over at a friend's house, and they're like, come here, we found something. I'm like, what did you find? Well, just come with us. If that ever happens for you, that's not something bad's going to happen. Just so you know, you're headed down the wrong direction. We ended up in the backyard of a fraternity house, and there was a barrel filled with ice, filled with drinks, soda, and adult beverages, and the such. And my friends and my older brother's friends were hiding, like, in the ditch, and they're like, let's go get them. Let's go steal them. And I'm going, no, let's not do that. And one by one, they sneak up, and they grab a beverage, and they come back down in the gully. And then every time they did it, they were, like, pushing somebody else. Oh, you go now. And then it came time for me and my older brother, Tim. And they're like, Tim, go. And I'm like, Tim, no, don't go. And they're like, Tim, do it. And he's like, he runs up, and he grabs a soda, and he comes back, and he sits back down. And I'm like, I am not doing this. And they're like, wah, little baby, yeah, man, you're so scared. And I'm like, I'm not scared. And they're like, wah, yes, you are. And I'm like, fine. And I ran up, and I grabbed that soda, and I drank it down. And immediately when it went into my stomach area, I thought, that was wrong. It was wrong. And some of my friends went on at 8 and 9 and 10 years old to get drunk off of somebody else's possessions. And I can remember thinking as this young man that what I had just done was wrong. That was not mine. I didn't need anybody to tell me that it was wrong. I instinctively knew inside of me that that was not mine, and I took it anyways. And I believe that when we look at the big picture of life, I think every single one of us can come to the conclusion that something is wrong with planet Earth. There's an aspect to it and its people that are broken and in need of fixing. I don't think the Bible is even necessary sometimes for us to realize that it's broken. We can turn on the news, and something instinctively inside of us says that what we see is not correct. That when we see somebody love their neighbor, something about that resonates inside of us as that is correct. And we talked about that when we were looking at the big overarching picture of faith, that you were created in the image of God in a pure, loving, intimate relationship with the Father. And then it was broken because Adam sinned and brought sin into the world. So there's an aspect of us as created in the image of God that when we see good things, we know that they're good. And when we see bad things, we know that they're bad. And I can just remember as a little kid, and then also that I had the opportunity of growing up in the church, but I didn't need that to know that something about me was broken and in need of fixing. I didn't have to have somebody tell me. I just knew that I was in need of fixing. Oh, I'm going the wrong way now. There we go. Now we're going the wrong way. Whoa. One of these times I'll get this thing correct. I came across this quote this week, and I feel like this kind of puts it all together. We all have darkness inside. The difference is the severity, not the kind. I don't even know if this guy knows Jesus. He's an author and a journalist. But in his investigative reporting, he has seen this to be true. Romans 3 puts it this way in verses 10 to 12. There is no one righteous, not even one. There is no one who understands. There is no one who seeks God. All have turned away. They have together become worthless. There is no one who does good, not even one. And as I looked around at the world, this makes a whole lot of sense to me. And when I realized that I was a part of that brokenness, I realized that I was in need of something more. I was in need of a fixing. I want to look at Romans chapter 5 this morning. Can you just push me ahead, Heywood? Thanks, man. Romans chapter 5, page 1094. And I want to start in verse 12, and I want to read to the end. Just follow along with me as I read. Therefore, just as sin entered the world through one man, and death through sin, and in this way death came to all men, because all sinned. For before the law was given, sin was in the world, but sin is not taken into account where there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from the time of Adam to the time of Moses, even over those who did not sin by breaking a command, as did Adam, who was a pattern of the one to come. But the gift is not like the trespass. For if the many died by the trespass of the one man, how much more did God's grace and the gift that came by the grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, overflow to the many? Again, the gift of God is not like the result of the one man's sin. The judgment followed the one sin and brought condemnation. But the gift followed because many trespassed and brought justification. For if by the trespass of the one man death reigned through the one man, how much more will those who receive God's abundant provision of grace and the gift of righteousness reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ? Consequently, just as the result of the one trespass was condemnation for all men, so also the result of the one act of righteousness was justification that brings life for all men. For just as through the disobedience of the one man, the many were made sinners, so also through the obedience of the one man, the many will be made righteous. The law was added so that the trespass may increase, but where sin increased, grace increased all the more, so that just as sin reigned in death, so also grace might reign through righteousness to bring eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. I want to look at a couple of these things this morning, and the first of which is, if we boil all the badness down, we give it a terminology. We call it evil. We call it darkness. In Scripture, it calls it sin. And really, that's like a separation from God or missing the mark. That when sin entered, we were separated from God, our Creator, who desired intimacy with us. That's what the core of sin really is. Sin entered through the one man, so all sinned. Even over those who did not sin by breaking a command, the judgment followed one sin and brought condemnation to us all. So even if it were possible for you to never do anything wrong in your entire life, we would still be separated from God. If it were be possible for you to go through your entire life without quote-unquote, committing evil, there is still a sin nature inside of us that keeps us separated from the Father that has to be dealt with. And I see it fleshed out this way. When God created us, he gave us a perfect, intimate heart. And when Adam sinned and caused sin to enter the world, a piece of the puzzle was taken away and replaced with this thing, sin. Darkness, evil, separation from God, whatever you want to call it, it separated us from the Father. It lives and breathes in and through us, and we see it manifested day after day after day all around planet Earth. As we look through the overarching history of faith, the covenant story, we saw that God made it possible for the Israelites to cover over that sin. And that covering lasted for a season until sin reigned again and it needed to be covered over again. and then sin reigned, and then it needed to be covered over again, and then sin reigned, and it needed to be covered over again. And the reality was, is the core was not dealt with. I don't know if you spend any time outside, but I like playing in the dirt. And this right here is a rhododendron. And rhododendrons are beautiful. They're gorgeous when they flower. But if rhododendrons are not kept in check, they will overtake your entire yard. The next thing you know, nobody will be able to see your house. They get ginormous. This little guy right here, I literally chopped all the way down. It was just a stump. Some kind of bug or something had crawled in and started eating a bunch of the branches, and the leaves were all dying. I was like, oh, I'm going to cut the, just literally leveled the thing to the ground, covered it back over with mulch, but I didn't dig it up. That was July. This was yesterday. I didn't get the root, so it just came back. It just came back. Maybe this will help you. Wow, that's really tiny. Can you see that? Not really, right? This is really big right now, ancestry. Finding out your DNA and your lineage and finding out all those kind of things, right? When I first took this test, and apparently they're getting better at this day after day after day. When I first took this test, it said I was 41% Norwegian. And I was really excited about that and really confused because my dad was Norwegian, and there wasn't any other Norwegian in the family, so I wondered how I was 41%. So I thought there was, anyways, they readjusted me, and now I'm 54% English, Welsh, Northwestern Europe. I'm 26% Norwegian now, and 20% Irish Scottish. I'm a European mutt. That's what I am, right? Peeps, my European mutts. I love Italian food. I love it. If I had to choose one food that I could only eat for the rest of my life, I would be thoroughly content only eating Italian food. No matter how hard I try, I'll never be Italian. It won't happen. I can tell all of you, guess what? I'm Italian. It won't make it so. I can choose in my brain to say, guess what, everybody? I'm Italian now. It will not change my DNA. If you look at my DNA will say 54% English, Welsh, Northern European, 26% Norwegian, and 20% Irish Scottish. That's what it will say, no matter how hard I try, because that is my roots. Unless sin, the separation from God, is dealt with at the roots, it will just come back, come back, come back, come back, come back. What was necessary was a whole new heart. Not a covering anymore, but a new heart. We're watching this right now play out with our friend Kelsey. Kelsey needs kidneys. She goes 3 times a week to dialysis, and that will sustain for a time. But what she really needs is a new kidney. We need a transplant. There is a sin, there is a separation, there is a darkness in all of us that can only be dealt with by a transplant. It has to be dealt with at the core. And so we literally, as human beings, need a new heart that I believe we can only get from God Himself. When I was just a little guy, I saw it played out. And I can remember seeing it all play out and crying out to God, saying, God, I need you. But really, when I became a high school student and I really got to think about this for myself with my perfect brain, because I was a high school student, I love you guys. You'll see. You'll get there. I can remember as a high school student thinking, well, this is great. Right? That's awesome, whatever. Jesus, yay God. Romans 15 says, by the grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, you were made whole. I needed to decide that for myself. I knew I was broken, and every time I tried to fix me, I just realized that I was broken all the more. So I started looking at every belief system on planet Earth. Every single one of them. I had friends who were Buddhists. I had friends who were Hindu. I had friends who were Roman Catholic. I had friends who were Jewish. I had friends who were Muslim. I asked them all about their belief systems. I had friends that were atheists. They identified with all different kinds of things. They said, tell me what you believe. And it all boiled down to the same thing. There is something wrong and we need fixing. And every belief system that I looked at, I was the solution. You were the solution. Follow the 8 principles of light. Follow the 5 pillars. The 8-fold path. All these different belief systems all landed on me. And I had spent my entire life trying to be good. And I realized that as good as I tried to be, I just ended up bad. Over and over and over again. And so the alternative to the solution is who cares? We're just worm food, yay. So the solution was no hope or it's all on my shoulders. And I wasn't about to no hope it. And I realized that I couldn't carry it on my shoulders. And so when I re-looked at the gospel of Jesus Christ, this is the only belief system that made sense to me. I'm broken. I'm in need of fixing. Only God can do it. And so when I look at this, Romans chapter 5, and I start reading these things, the gift is not like the trespass. The gift of God is not like the sin. How much more did God's grace overflow over the many when his blood was shed for you and me? But the gift followed many trespasses and brought justification. I was made just right with him. So also, one righteous act resulted in the justification for life for all people. Through the obedience of that one man, Jesus Christ, then many will be made righteous. The hinge to it all landed on Jesus' profession that I am God, I am here to die for you and for me. You can be restored. You can keep on trying as much as you want to, but you will fail. And it was very apparent that apart from anything outside of myself, I was a failure. And so I'm left with my friend Rob Reamer, who says, we can never move beyond our own self-awareness. As I examined myself and realized that I cannot fix me, I'm in need of being fixed, I'm left with this question: what do I do with my sin? What do I do with my separatedness? And what do I do with Jesus? I can either continue to go, there's really nothing I can do. Let's just party. Let's just hang out and become word food. Or when I see somebody act kind to their neighbor and it resonates with my soul and see that Scripture says that love God, love others was God's design and his plan, then I can allow it to affect and change me. And so then when I hear about Jesus, I have a choice to either believe he was who he said he was or to discount him and keep on looking. So as we take this journey through the foundations of faith, I leave you with these two very important questions. What do you do with your separatedness? And what do you do with Jesus? I want to pray for us. Lord, Father, I come before you and I ask that this morning that as we look again, maybe for some of us, our response is no different than the first time. Yeah, Jesus. And maybe for some of us, we've thought about it, we've heard about it, we've looked at it, we've come on a Sunday morning. We haven't really decided what, if any, thing to do with our separatedness or Jesus. I ask that right now in the midst of our hearts and our minds and our souls that you would speak truth to those that are in that place. And then those who may be comprehending, understanding, hearing this for the first time, I ask, Holy Spirit, that you land in wait upon their souls. That Jesus was who he said he was. Desires a heartfelt relationship with each and every single one of us. He desires a heart transplant for them. I pray that in the powerful name of Jesus Christ. Amen. If you've made a decision of what to do with Jesus after the service, I'm going to ask that Donna and Sarah and Warren, are you available after the service? Warren and the Barnes, if you guys would be willing to just come down forward. If somebody decided this morning something to do with Jesus, with who he is and who he said he was, these guys are going to be down here available to talk to you. In response, let's stand. There's one last song I want us to sing. And as we sing this last song, let the words that were spoken and the things you hurt in your soul resonate with truth.